Welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 110.
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year! Today is January 2nd. We're recording on Saturday. We were supposed to record yesterday, but there was a little mishap, and I will let that mishap come out if it is decided that it should come out. anyway, my name is Chris Furicchio, and I'm here with Travis Baum.
Beyond? Oh, wait.
Wait, what was that?
Yeah, wrong podcast.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I had Jeff Chorty.
Word up.
Today we are going to be talking about games that we were late to the party on. Things that came out in 2008 that we just started playing in 2009 and realized that we are sad that we missed them. But we're going to get to that later. First, we're going to start out with some distractions, a very short news segment. And afterwards, we'll do some new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. So before that, hey, Travis.
Hey.
How you doing, buddy, on this wonderful new year?
I'm doing fine. I guess I'll just go ahead and clarify the mishap. I got a little sick. The doctor told me I had a little heart problem, so we couldn't record yesterday. I had to go to the doctor's office, but we're all right now. We're just, you know, just waiting on answers,
Which is good, because you scared the shit out of us.
Yeah, yes, well, Upper scared the shit out of me and my wife, so got a little, it is what it is. We're going to wait and find out. Got to go see a cardiologist later, but, you know, we're just scratching and surviving, making it through.
Well, be well, friend. Be well.
Yes, definitely.
I will. I actually feel all right now, so we're good. We're doing fine. What else happened? I mean, I guess Chris, you and I will. it's something we both did. You know, we enjoyed a fun weekend with friends.
That's correct.
And, you know, went and saw. We went and had sushi.
Mm-hmm.
Saw part of
Sherlock Holmes.
You fell asleep.
Are you real?
I was tired of shit, dude. It was because I didn't like the movie. Because
you didn't start snoring, did you?
No, I didn't. But I woke
was
up
breathing heavily.
Yeah, I don't snore. I actually breathe loud. So, but I woke up that morning at like 4:35 just because I couldn't get back to sleep, and it caught up to me by about 9 o'clock when we were watching the movie. So, but yeah.
Yeah,
and then we did some Battle and Brew on New Year's.
Yeah. We had a good time with again, the same crew. Can I be honest with you? I mean, playing games with, you know, you and Jason and the other guys was a really good time. But, man, I had a really good time playing the card game when we all sat down and played Apples to Apples.
Well, that game is just freaking ridiculously fun anyway.
That was really, really fun.
You always find some humor in those, so that's good stuff.
Yeah. But it's a blessing every time we all get to hang out with each other, because it's all good people, and it's just a good blast. But, you know, other than that, me getting a little sick, sushi and Battle and Brew, that is it.
Cool. All right, Jeff, what's up, man?
Oh, not much. Still kind of recovering from the whole New Year's thing. It was a pretty big house party. Ended up staying up a lot later, and I wanted to. I ended up coming home and playing Street Fighter 4 until like 6 in the morning or something like that with Kill 9.
That doesn't surprise me in one bit.
I know. I was like, I can't have one of those nights where I stay up. I need to go to bed at a reasonable time. This is ridiculous. But of course, it didn't happen. But yeah, just kind of relaxing. Had a short work week, of course, like everyone else. And just trying to take advantage of it. Surprisingly, though, I haven't been playing as many games as I thought it would be on my few days off here. But maybe after this recording, I will dive in and actually play a video game.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
But other than that, that's it. What about you, Chris?
I think
it's pretty much everything that Travis just said.
Well, yeah. I also have a friend in town, Cal. He's from Michigan.
Yeah.
He's actually playing Assassin's Creed 2 in the background. So if you guys hear a little bit of sound effects from that, that's what it is. Pretty much everything that Travis has said, that's pretty much what we've been doing. Yesterday, one of his friends met up with him, and we all went out to dinner to Taco Mac, which is, of course, one of my favorite places to get food.
Oh,
because
yeah,
they have so much beer, it's ridiculous. I ordered my first beer, and it was one of the new beers of the month that they have in for January, and it was like a chocolate stout, really tasty. Then I ordered something else, and the waiter comes over and says, I wanted to show you this, and he has this bottle. It's like a 24 or 25 ounce bottle, of Blue Moon, and I forgot what the label underneath it was. It was like Crew or something like that. Grand Crew. That's what it was. Thank you, Cal. And, apparently, they only brew this beer in limited quantities whenever there is a full moon on New Year's Eve.
Really?
So, and apparently this doesn't happen very often. So the guy brings me over the bottle and says, it's kind of expensive, but this is the only time you're going to see it until like 2019 or something ridiculous like that. I was like, holy shit. And I looked at the bottle and, you know, I like Blue Moon, so it was cool. It was a high gravity beer. It was like 8-point-something%. Ugh. And, so I grabbed it and I was like, all right, yes, you know, what the hell? I'll try it. He said we only got like 3 or 4 bottles left. And I was like, all right, I'll give it a shot. $18 a bottle. You get about 3 beers out of it. Okay.
Okay. That's not too bad.
Yeah. So it's really not that bad. Damn good beer. Holy crap. I mean, Blue Moon is a decent beer in my opinion. But this was super smooth. You could not tell it was high gravity at all. It was just a scrumptious beer. And I got like a picture of the bottle. I went total geek on this. I was like, yeah, once every 20 years, bitches. So, so that's what we did last night. And that was, but that, you know, besides that, everything Travis mentioned is pretty much what we've been doing. And, you know, had a good New Year's. After everybody left, the Battle and Brew, we went back to our friend Serena's house for probably like half an hour, 45 minutes just to hang out. Play a little rock band, and then, yeah, I went home. It was an early night. I was in bed by 2.
Did you sleep all right New Year's night? Did you sleep good? No, no, nothing disturbing you in the middle of the night?
No. Should there have been? Oh, yeah. Okay, I know what you're talking about. No.
I know what you're talking about.
I left my phone downstairs, Travis. I always do. So when Jeff drunk dialed me at 3:30 in the morning, it went to voicemail.
Well, I guess he just got pissed and had to call someone else, so he called me at 3:30. But it's all in good fun. We talked about it before the recording. If, you know, Jeff is family, so he is allowed to. No one else is. People who are not family are not.
Oh, shit. Sorry, Travis. Are you sleeping? Yeah, no. Who is this? So, oh, no, no.
Sleeping at 3:30 in the morning? No. Why would I be sleeping at 3:30 in the morning?
It was a good time, though.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, well, let's get on with it. Travis, what's distracting you this week?
Whole bunch of games, man. Started off with Mandatory Modern Warfare.
Okay.
Absolutely. Modern Warfare actually got so mandatory. Oh, you're going to hate me for this. I actually double dipped and got it on 362.
Sheep!
Oh, I had so many people saying, oh, you want to play Modern Warfare? Yeah, you got it on PlayStation 3. Oh, no, I got it on 360. It's what happened all the time. And then then my buddy Boondock, he ended up, he only had it on PlayStation 3 via, like, Gamefly. So he bought a new Modern Warfare, the console that came with the game and the 2 controllers and all that.
Right, right.
And so he had it on there. So I'm like, okay, all these people want me to play it on there. I know Jeff has it on there. We do some spec ops on the 360 with him. Word. So I went ahead and jumped over, which I was actually honestly happy to do. Considering that, you know, when I first jumped into Modern Warfare 2 on the PlayStation 3, I had some rust to get out. So by that time, my kill-death ratio was kind of whacked out. So now I'm like more, you know, more of a seasoned player. So I jump into it. Now my kill-death ratio is the tops. So I'm really enjoying it there.
Nice.
Finishing up Mass Effect. Probably a couple of more missions left to go, and I'll be done with that. And my save will be all ready for the end of the month. A couple of games played at Battle and Brew. Played Modern Warfare, some Street Fighter 4, of course, got schooled by Jason many, many times.
He just makes it not fun.
No, absolutely. Like, he doesn't. And when you get up, you put down the stick, you walk away, and he looks at you. He doesn't even say a word, but he mouths, I'm sorry.
And then you look at him and say, no, you're not, you
no,
fucker.
You're not. So, you and Jason's buddy that y'all work with, Owens.
Jonathan Owens.
Yeah, good guy. He came over. We played a little Madden. If he listens to the show, sorry, buddy. But
no, you're not. You're a fucker.
I laid the smack down on him, baby. I'm like,
you're the Jason of Madden, Travis. How do you feel about that? How does that make you feel?
I'm like, you know, playing online, like not playing with someone with me, I don't play that well. There's some sort of like, there's button lag that it's really, really hard to get, you know, to kind of overcome. But like, I'm like 10-0. I'm completely undefeated while playing with somebody like next to me. Like, I haven't been beat yet in Madden 10, so I'm actually hoping that record can go strong. This morning, jumped in a little Torchlight.
Cool.
I haven't played it in a few days, so I figured I'd jump right back into it. And it is the easiest game to jump right back into, because even if like you haven't played in the week and you're in the middle of a dungeon, you jump back in. It's like,
the mechanics are not hard to pick up. So it's
it's not. And it is so much fun. And every time I play it after like a lapse of a couple of days, I'm like, why am I not playing this game every day? So I always like kind of beat myself up because I should be playing it every day. Even if it's for like 10 or 20 minutes, it's just, for me, the perfect game for just a few minutes to play. I'm having a big, big, big fun time with it. And then I'm really dying for Heavy Rain, so I've been replaying Indigo Prophecy.
Oh, nice.
I picked it up on Steam when it was like $2.99, $3.99, and I picked it up. I found out a way to take my 6-axis, plug it in with the USB controller, and use my 6-axis as my PC controller.
That's pretty cool.
And I've been playing Indigo Prophecy for a good bit. I already got halfway through it. It takes about 6 hours, but
okay.
I'm loving that. So have you played that, Chris?
I haven't, actually. I didn't know it was on Steam for sale. I would have probably picked it up because I missed it.
Well, check it out, because I mean, most the whole sale time, I know like some sales on specific games like are only for a couple of days only, but the overall sale is still, what, the third?
Yeah, it's still tomorrow.
You might be able to still find it. I think it's like $3.99, maybe a dollar more, but that's kind of the price that I remember. But pick it up, man. It's a fantastic game. I love it.
Looking it up right now.
Cool. Well, that's all for me.
All right, cool. Jeff, what about you?
Like I said, not too much gaming, surprisingly, over the past week or so. But I did hook up the Saturn that I bought when I was in Chicago. Played a little bit of Fighters Mega Mix. Which looks
cool.
Absolutely terrible. And
yeah, it looks like ass, but it's fun as shit, though.
It's still fun, yeah. I was sitting there playing it, and Tony's like, this game looks like crap. I'm like, yeah, but I couldn't... I'm just playing through the single player, just like... But it's still kind of smooth, and I still remember stuff, how to play the game.
I'm trying to remember the other game that was in there. It was Virtua Fighter, and I'm trying
Fighting
to remember...
Fighting Vipers.
Fighting Vipers, that was it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Fighting Vipers had a really fun fighting mechanic, and that's why that game was so much fun.
Smash the armor off, and through walls. But, so I had to make sure the Saturn works, so it does. I'm hoping my X-Men vs. Street Fighter gets here soon. It should.
Mm.
I put up the Super Nintendo. Sadly, three of the four games I have for it don't seem to work.
What?
So, yeah, only ActRaiser 1 works. The other games wouldn't even load up. So I was talking to Trickman Terry about it, and he said, you probably just need to clean them out. I grabbed, like, a Q-tip with some... rubbing alcohol or something.
Alcohol,
and just kind of clean them off and give it a try. Because, I mean, the chances that three games don't work and they all have the same problem is pretty slim, probably. So I might do that later on today because I want to make sure, like, I want to play some, like, NBA Jam. Come on.
Yeah. That game is awesome.
Oh, yeah. ActRaiser 2. And, of course, Pilot Wings.
Yeah.
What's been playing?
Hey, you know they just released that this week on the Virtual Console.
Yes, they did.
So if it doesn't work, you can just get it there.
I can just grab it there. It's a plan.
Hey, just to interrupt real quick, Indigo Prophecy is still on sale. So
nice.
It's in my cart. And Braid is $2.50 right now. Did you know that? Braid is $2.50 on Steam.
Oh, man.
So that's in my cart, too. Anyway, sorry, Jeff.
It's okay. These sales are driving me nuts. I went to EB the other day or GameStop, and they had I picked up Wet and Afro Samurai for a total of like $35 or something like that.
Nice.
Have you played Afro Samurai at all?
I played the demo.
Oh, okay.
Which is pretty much like a regular hack and slash game. I'm sure I won't play all the way through it. Neither of the game, I haven't opened either of them, because they're like, Afro Samurai was $10. So I'm like, I'll get Afro Samurai. And I always said I'd buy Wet if it was cheap and it was on sale, I guess. So I'm like, okay, I'll pick up Wet as well, but I'm not going to play them for a bit. But I got to stop doing this. I'm going to load up on games and just never play them.
I know.
Now,
we just keep buying and buying and buying. It's like, I haven't played any of these games.
Yeah, and there's two big releases coming out like in a couple days, and I know I'm going to be playing those. And like you said, I now have games on my shelf that are unopened and probably will be that way for a bit. But the games I did open, Assassin's Creed 2, I got that for the Christmas.
Let's talk about that a little bit, because I got it too.
Yeah. This is exactly how it went down. I put it in the first, I'd say, 2 to 3 hours. I was like, this
Assassin's
is Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, this is whatever. But then once you get to the point where you get your villa and you get the assassin tomb kind of missions and everything, and everything just opens up, and I'm like, holy crap, this is way better than Assassin's Creed 1. This is what Assassin's Creed 1 should have been. And it's hard to put down. I'm not having that repetitive feel of Assassin's Creed 1 where I'm like,
no.
Okay, I gotta do this again. And I didn't want to do any of the extra stuff. Like, I'm not even advancing the main story at this point. I'm just like, oh, I gotta find all the I want to find the tombs, and I want
find
to
find all the treasures and
the what's it called? The truth things?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The glyphs?
Yeah, yeah, the glyphs, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't gone through all of those yet. The feathers.
Well,
I've
only
stuff.
Got like 5 of them, but yeah.
Yeah, around like 10 or 11, when you get to those glyphs, those puzzles get really, really hard.
No, really?
Yeah, I actually had to Google a couple of those questions.
Yeah, everyone I've talked to actually says they've had to do that. And they're yeah. clever, too. Like, you have
they
to
are,
know
yeah.
kind of like some history stuff, so I mean... It makes sense that people are totally Googling or using a game.
Video games
like
teaching
that.
You shit.
Yeah. But no, I'm liking it. I like the fact that you can change even what your character looks like.
Yeah.
Which
you
is
can change.
Awesome.
You can like dye your clothing and stuff
yeah.
like that.
Yeah. So right now I'm like my guy's like red and black pretty much, and like yeah, it looks like a badass.
Yeah, I'm using the ebony color from I think it's from Venice. I think that's where I got it.
I don't know. I don't think I'm not in Venice yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm still in Tuscany and Florence. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think it's much of a spoiler, but hey, just to give me a, because you beat the game, right, Travis?
Yep.
Actually, you were gonna ask someone. Do you remember what you were gonna say? You were just about to say something.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to ask. Do you find yourself, you two, Chris? Do you find yourself okay? All right. Well, I'm in a point in the map where I can just run around, do what I want, but I want to go ahead and do another story mission. Okay, so I'm here, and mm-hmm. point B, where I need to go, is there. Do you find mm-hmm. yourself while you're heading to point B, like getting sidetracked? Ooh, there's a pickpocket. Let
oh,
me get
yeah.
him, or let me
yeah.
go do this. Like,
yeah.
it sways you away. Like, it kind of hand feeds you. The missions, like, okay, it's not too far, but you just gotta go here and, you know, continue the story missions. But, like, it's so hard to just get to that position to do it because there's so much stuff happening around you or in yeah. between there. There's a minor assassination mission or there's, you know, I mean, honestly, to me, the platforming is just so fun just to go from rooftop to rooftop. I enjoyed every second of it to where even like the mail carrier missions, I even enjoyed doing those. Like, I just found myself, okay, well, I don't want to do a story mission. There's a couple of things around here that I want to do. Like, I just found myself constantly distracted, from the story.
I do that too, but that's the completionist in me because mm-hmm. I'll be honest with you. That when you're holding down A and you're doing that shit is frustrating because half the time it does something completely different from what I want it to do.
That's true. I have had some problems with that, especially when I'm like on a building and I'm trying to get it crossed like the other side of the wall or something yeah. like that. And instead of reaching, it'll just jump, and I'm like, no, you don't want to. Oh god, now I have to climb all the way up there again.
Yeah, and it's like the, when you find those wires that go across from building
yeah,
to building,
yeah, yeah,
and it's
yeah.
like, and you're trying to go as fast as you can, right? You're doing a race or something like this, and you're running fast, and you jump, and he jumps right over the wire and falls like 3 stories, and it's like, thank you for completely missing the point.
You know, I actually blame the camera with that because when you're running, the camera's kind of sitting a little low, like it's pointing directly at your back, mm-hmm. to where it doesn't give you kind of like a over the shoulder or overhead view to where, like, you know, you're trying to run and to make these jumps accurate. Because sometimes even to try to jump from roof to roof, like the way the camera's situated, I'm trying to, you know, make this the whole free running. I'm trying to make it flow, and I think I can make the I can make the other roof and. The way the camera's situated, there's no way you're going to make that roof, and you just ended up, yep, you know, falling a couple of stories and taking damage.
Well, it's not even misjudging how far you can jump. It's you're trying to jump at something, and he jumps at something completely different. I mean, that happens to me often. It's like I would say about 25% of the time, if I'm free running and I'm on the rooftops, I miss something. And I fall to my death. Like, I'll be chasing like one of the pickpockets or something like that, or, you know, trying to do a race or doing the courier missions or something that you're supposed to be going fast. And I'll try and jump to something, and he'll either jump to the left of it, to the right of it, or just completely jump over it.
Hmm.
And it happens enough to the point where it is frustrating. It happens enough to the point where I miss the stickiness of Infamous. That's how much it happens to me. I will never complain about Infamous being sticky again. Because I would welcome that in this game. I really would.
I still like it. I mean, it happens to me too, but...
Oh, no, I still like it.
Yeah,
don't get
me wrong.
It
doesn't happen to me as much as it seems to be happening to you.
Yeah, it happens to me enough to frustrate me. And the thing is that it happens at very inconvenient times, you know? Because it makes me miss race times. You know, I'll have to restart races like 2 or 3 times, and you can't just hit start and say restart mission or something like that. It doesn't work that way. You have to wait for the time to run out. and then you restart it, and then you try again, and then if you miss another jump, you go all over again. So, I mean, there's some races where I had to try three or four times just because I tried to jump on something and he went in a completely different direction.
So
I did that a lot, like when I, especially in indoor air, environments, that's when it happens to me the most. But like there's one mission, Storm Mission, where you have to chase a guy through kind of like a, a bunch of tunnels and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And a lot of times I would do it in there, and actually, like, I got to the end of it, and minor spoilers, but I don't think it's really a spoiler, but if you chase the guy, if you don't get to him before he gets into the main area, he calls for other guards, and there's these guards at a table, like, eating or whatever, they'll come out, and you have to fight, like, five of them. But if you take him before that, you can just walk right past those guards and not have to worry about them. Right. But I didn't catch him the first time, but the level was set up in a way that if you can nail everything, which is an awesome feeling of flowing from the beginning of this race to the end, and you end up like killing the dude. But I, at the end of it, I was like, no, I have to do that again. I want to get this like perfect. And then just that feeling was just awesome. I was like, all right, I know how to know where to run in this course or whatever you want to call it. And it was just satisfying as hell.
Yeah.
But that's where I did most of the fuck ups, or in stuff like that, or in like the Prince of Persia type levels. But
And again, I'm not saying I'm not enjoying the game, because I am. It's definitely better than the first one. But there's still, you know, there's still those little things. It's like, why am I beating up all these husbands? It's like, why do I have to do this?
See, I haven't even
why aren't there
one of those
other
yet.
Why aren't there other types of beat up missions? Every single beat up mission I've done is like, my husband's cheating on me. Well, are you giving him head? I mean, what the hell? I mean, he's got to go get his, you know, he's going to get his head somewhere.
Ladies, let that be a lesson to you.
Totally kidding.
A message.
Those toothless women that we lost last week, if they came back to give us another shot, they're gone now. They're completely gone.
But I mean, other than that, I love the tombs. I love the assassin tombs, like Jeff was saying. I think I've done like four of them so far, and I think they're brilliant. I mean, just the way that you're just trying to find your path up to these,
it's like Prince of Persia.
To these crypts. Yeah, it's very Prince of Persia-ish, and, I absolutely love that. There's only a couple of things that I wish they would do. Like in Florence, I finished Florence completely. I did everything, including like the minor assassination missions, but there's like 12 of them. I mean, it's like, there's so many. It's like, cut that down a little bit. I'd like to.
Yeah, those maps get cluttered quick.
Yeah, they like, get cluttered oh my God, really I can't fast. See. And then when you're doing all those assassination missions, you know there's like there's other cities that you want to explore, but you're sitting here doing all these assassination missions because you're a completionist fuck like me, and you know, and then every like hour or so you have to go back to your villa to clear out that chest, you know. So there's interruptions in the game, and it's
why do you have to go clear out that chest like every once in a while?
Because it only holds X amount.
Oh, that's right. So you have to clear it so you get more money. That's right.
And they do that for a good reason, because you have kind of a similar monetary system with Fable 2. But with Fable 2, you can actually keep your game on overnight, just turn your TV off and go to sleep and come back, and you got a million gold.
Yeah.
To where they set it up there, to where you don't abuse that.
I mean, I understand why they did it, but it'd be nice to, like, to be able to just have a command or something like that you had to hit to say, put in the bank. You know, instead of having to go back to the villa and take it out of the chest or something like that. And, you know, that way it wouldn't interrupt the game as much. I mean,
but if it can do that, then what's the difference with the Fable thing?
Because you have to be there to put in an input to say, put it in the bank. You have to actually put in some sort of input to say, to change the location of the money.
Enter Konami code now.
Yeah, right.
No.
it would just, I mean, as I said, it kind of takes me out of the game because I'm in the middle of doing stuff and all of a sudden, oh, you know, it's been an hour, which means, you know, you only have an hour and 20 minutes before the chest is full. So, you know, after an hour or so of playing, then you have to stop and you have to go back to the villa and you have to do all that. So it's just kind of a break in the gameplay, and it'd be nice to have another way to do that. But that's a nitpick. And the only other nitpick I have is when you're doing like the races, it'd be nice if they showed you the spot you have to get to, and if they showed you like the next spot you're going to go to, like in a different color. So I knew like which direction I should be running. Usually, they do a really good job of like of guiding you the way you're supposed to go. But every once in a while, you'll hit that one spot, or maybe you fell and you have to climb back up, and you get to the spot, you know, you get to the marker, and then you have to look around for where the next marker is. So that's really the only other nitpick that I have. But besides that, I do like the game a lot.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what do you like about the game? Because you have been nothing but like talking about, oh, but you, this is something that happens in a lot of, this is something that
this
happens
Travis,
a lot of.
Me.
Travis,
this is something that
nothing.
Just made, this just
I hate this
gears.
Game, it sucks. It's actually horrible. We'll just leave it at that. No, I mean, everything else is a lot of fun. And one of the things that I had a problem with in the first one is, basically the combat consisted of counter.
Mm-hmm. Counter, this one still kind of does.
Counter. It does, but you can't rely on that all the time, because when you start fighting the brutes,
you can't
counter the brutes. They will fuck you up. And I really like the whole disarm mechanic of it, because I mean, it is, all right, this is the one that I like the best. I think it's with one of the big axes. You disarm the guy, you smack him in the head with the axe, and then he just kind of like sits there in the daze, and Ezio will put the axe on his shoulder and just kind of casually lean forward and push the guy down. Just like, yeah. But, I enjoy the combat a lot more than the first one.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot like, well, I guess Batman could have took it from their Arkham Asylum, but I mean, like, it's similar to that. Like, once you get in the flow of the combat in Assassin's Creed, it looks so awesome to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's true.
It's good stuff. But
I also found a little sense of a randomness. Like, you know, if you're just fighting with your hidden blades, you know, sometimes the counterattacks will bounce off, sometimes they won't, but sometimes you'll get a quick little instant kill, and it doesn't happen all the time. It's like, it's like a 10% shot, you know, sometimes it'll do it. And I just like the randomness that sometimes that weapon will come through and end up killing him when most of the time it doesn't. So there's a little, little random fun.
Word. And to see how, like, show how big the game is. I haven't even done a racing mission or a beat up mission that Chris has done, and I'm a few hours into the game. Like, I've played quite a bit. Like, I remember being like, oh, where does it show the hours, actually? Because what is that counter when you go to your save game? I thought that was it on the bottom right.
No,
but
that's
it's not.
The time that you last saved, I think.
Okay, that kind of makes sense, I guess, maybe. But yeah, but I don't want to know how much I've put into it, because I'm not even at Venice yet. Or
it's there. When you go into the menu, there's like a whole bunch of like different tiered menus.
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of different stuff. Just dig around there. The time of play is in there.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. Like I said, like I was gonna ask you, because you beat the game. I'm just at the part without spoiling much. These guys almost kind of capture you, I guess, but they don't. And it's in Florence.
I know what you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah.
I think I know what you're talking about.
And one of his lines is, hey, what does he say? If you guys just let me go, I won't have to kill you.
Yeah.
And then it has one of those, like QTEs.
Quick time events?
Yeah. So I was trying to think of where I am in the story. Because, like, you can get lost without doing the main story so easily in that game. So I obviously have no idea where I am. But everyone I see playing it on my friends, it's like, they're in Venice. Or they're in Rome. Like, what the hell? Or Romania. I'm like, how are they there? I'm not, where am I? Oh my God.
Yeah.
Am I way behind everyone? I don't know. But yeah. I like it. Fun
cool.
game
I
so
do
far.
Too. I've been playing it like crazy. I'm pretty addicted to it. And as I said, all the little things I just said were more nitpicks than anything. It's still fun as shit. So.
Well, that's what you do.
Yeah, I do that. I nitpick. It's my job.
Yeah. This game, the game's okay.
And luckily, I ended up getting two of them for Christmas.
Oh, nice.
So it actually works out now, because now I can pick up another game next week that I wasn't originally going to buy, because now I can just exchange it for it. So
good.
More on that
Sweet.
Later. But I'm happy. So now more games I don't have time to play. Yeah! what else have I been playing? That's basically it, actually. It's just been a lot of Assassin's Creed. Like, I haven't been playing too much because Tanya's sister's boyfriend, Scott, we actually lent him my second PS3, because he wanted to play Uncharted 2 and stuff like that, and Killzone, so I haven't been having my gaming in bed sessions that I've been having the past while, so haven't played any, like, God of War collection or anything like that.
You're a good friend, man, because I don't even let people borrow DVDs, much less a whole console system.
I know it'll be kept in good condition. And if not, Scott, I know where you live. I was going to say. Oh, but I did play, as Travis caught me again, I played more of the Dante's Inferno and Bayonetta demo.
Jeez!
I like that game, man. That demo is so good. I can't wait.
Cool.
Yeah, that's it. That's it for my week.
Okay.
Cool.
Assassin's Creed 2. Good game. I'm sure I'm going to be talking about it more next week. For sure.
All right. All right, well, I'll get mine out of the way. As I did say, we talked about Assassin's Creed 2, so I'm playing the shit out of that. Let's talk about Valkyria. Well, no, actually, let's not talk about Valkyria Chronicles. We'll get to that later.
Okay.
Spoiler. Darn. What? Let's see. What else? I did get Dragon Age. I literally only played it for like an hour though, because, Assassin's Creed kind of, it was easier to jump in and play than Dragon Age was. Mm-hmm. So that's where I am right now. Let's see. What else? New Super Mario Brothers. I picked that up.
Yeah, it's fun.
It is fun. I do love it so. The only thing I hate about it is that you have to shake it to move do the propeller thing. It's like, couldn't you have done something else?
Mm.
I just hate when they throw in, you know,
waggle.
They throw in the waggle just to have it. It's like, you don't need that there. Just have me push something else. You know, there's other buttons. But you know, other than that, it's Super Mario Brothers, and if you love Super Mario Brothers, you're gonna love this. I haven't played it multiplayer yet, but I plan on it very soon. Let's see, what else? Shit, I think that might be it. Assassin's Creed is really what I put most of my... Creed and Valkyria Chronicles.
Once I put
Chronicles,
that in, nothing's left my 360 since I had Assassin's Creed 2 in there.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, Assassin's Creed 2 and Valkyria Chronicles have been what I played the most this week, so... yeah, that's it for me too. So
you got beat by Jason in Street Fighter 2 as well.
I did get beat up by Jason.
Oh, I did play
Jason
some
Street Fighter
4, but I think I kind of mentioned that already.
But it's a given week to week. It's fine.
Yeah.
You know, I played Rock Band 2 this week, but that's a given too sometimes. So, but yeah, that is it. So cool. Well, I'm glad mine was fast.
Well, there's another game that we all played. We should probably talk about.
Yeah, that's true. We have to review Duke Nukem 3D from goodoldgames.com.
It's a website.
It's nice.
There you go.
It's GOG. I know that, but whatever.
And, yeah, I mean, this game is no stranger to pretty much anybody who's done PC gaming and first person shooters. It's the biggest thing about it is the attitude of the character, Duke Nukem, and, just in general. In general, it's fucking
mouth.
Hard as hell.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's hard. And there's strippers.
There are strippers. But the game is very, very fast. So get that out of the way now. There's a pretty good amount of weapons that you can pick up. I mean, it's always fun to carry around the shotgun because, you know, say hello to my boomstick.
Yeah.
It's always fun to hear that. And there's like rocket launchers and stuff like that. But, you know, it's your traditional... first person shooter. It doesn't break any major ground. There's tons of secret areas that you can find, tons of secret items that you can get. And, you know, as Jeff said, they're strippers.
Yeah. It's one thing I noticed, I love Duke Nukem 3D back in the day. I had it for PC. I also had it for Sega Saturn and played a crap load of it, but trying to play through it again for some reason.
Real tough.
Yeah, it's tough too, but I figured, okay, maybe it's just because it's older and they've advanced so much, but you put Doom in my hands, Doom 1 or 2, and I can play Doom 1 or 2 for quite a while still. Even though it didn't really, there's so much more to Duke Nukem 3D.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, for some reason that just like the staying power with Duke Nukem, which I thought would have been more than Doom, is not really there for me. I was like, oh, okay, well,
really?
Okay, it's Duke Nukem's kind of, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what, something about Doom, it's so simple and the levels are so quick. I just kind of, I remember when it came out on Xbox Live Arcade, I was like, okay, yeah, I'll check it out. I'll probably play it for like 5 minutes. And like an hour later, I was still playing. I'm like, oh my God.
Right.
Like, this is still really fun. But with Duke Nukem, it never grabbed me again. I don't know what it was.
Maybe it's so over the top, you know, it's, maybe that's it. Because it is a very over-the-top game. I mean, there's...
Oh, yeah.
The amount of swearing, and there's, you know, boobs everywhere, and, you know, that's that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, overall, it's still a very, very solid first-person shooter, so...
Oh, yeah, sure. For its time, it was... Really
and it good. Is, and exactly, for its time. Like, this was kind of like this and Doom, and this was before Quake's time, so this was all we really got in terms of a first-person... anything that was a big name. I mean,
right.
It was just Doom and this. And going back to it, I mean, it was not much to complain about then because this was all we have. But, you know, times have changed mm-hmm. so much. Like, I'm playing through the game, and I'm on the easiest difficulty setting trying to get through this. And I'm like, okay, where's my regenerating health? I need that right now. These health packs are not cutting it.
How come the health packs don't give me back all my life? What the hell?
No, it was ridiculous. So, I mean, I guess it comes down to we're kind of slowly spoon-fed our games.
When
difficulty.
Yeah.
Like, they're kind of making us...
This is how old? How old is Duke Nukem? Like, 13?
Something like that.
No, it's more than
that. It's pretty old.
It's pretty damn old, yeah. So...
But these types of first-person shooters, I mean, in Duke Nukem's case, I found it too hard, to be honest with you, too bland, and just too repetitive.
Mm-hmm.
Those are my main problems with it. Now, something I did like about it, and I was trying to envision myself playing this, you know, in the early 90s, and the level of interactivity with the world... Like compared to Doom, like you can go into a bathroom in Duke Nukem. You can flush the toilets. You can use the sinks. You can flip on the light switches on and off in almost every single room.
It's one of the first games that actually took that much account of what was in the environment. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah,
exactly. So it is so easy to bitch about how this game is because we're playing these first person shooters now and the differences between the two times. But going in the opposite direction. Man, that's really, really cool, and I wasn't old enough to really appreciate that level of interactivity. Yeah. And this was one of the first games that I can remember playing where it's just chock full. It's brimming with just, like, Easter eggs throughout the entire game.
Right. There's all kinds of secret rooms, all kinds of items to get and stuff like that.
Yeah. Like in the beginning, where there's the – in the theater level, you can go into the – you can find your way into the projection booth.
Yeah.
And you can hit it and pop on the porno, which is like two frames of just a woman doing the same motion back and forth with a bikini on. But I remember being like 12 and I'm like, oh my God, I hope my parents don't come into the room. And now I'm like 27. I'm like, this is lame.
I know.
This is but again, changing times. So I don't know. This is kind of how I felt about it.
Well, we'll see how they improve things for Duke Nukem Forever when that comes out.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be out any day now. And Jeff, you were right. It's 13 years old. It came out in 96.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
So it's pretty old. Actually, it was January 29th, 96, so it's almost 14 years old.
Wow.
Also, it was one of the first games to let you aim vertically, wasn't it?
Maybe?
Or no?
I don't remember. In Doom, you couldn't.
No, Doom would just like you. If there's a guy above you, you just had to aim, like have the axis in the same level, but the missile would go upwards towards the dude. You couldn't actually aim up.
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
Without a mod, anyway, like the original actual game, but...
I was playing on the laptop without a mouse, so I wasn't aiming vertically.
Oh, damn. That's rough.
I was playing old school Doom style.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah,
that's actually something that I wanted to bring up, though, is the mods. There are a ton of mods out there for Duke Nukem, including a game that makes it completely polygonal. There's one pack out there that's like... It's got to be like 10 times the size of the actual game. And it literally makes the entire game polygonal, like all 3D graphics. So the ugly sprites that stay facing you as you're, you know, running around them, they are gone. And that's a pretty cool pack to have.
Mm-hmm.
Makes it a lot easier to look at the game, you know, because the visuals are they're not horrible. They're definitely not bad, but they are dated. And
right.
getting the HD texture pack actually helps a lot.
Cool. All right, so what do you guys rate overall? Recommend it? Not recommend it?
I'm giving it a minor distraction only because I'm not huge on first person shooters. And
well, I'm giving it the same thing, and I'm a big first person shooter fan.
All right.
Same with me too. Yeah, I just. I wasn't feeling it.
The thing is, yeah, it's a great game for, again, I know some people don't like, it's hard to review a game that's that old. And again, whether it came out in 96 or 2009, it's still your money that you're paying for whatever, like, a similar product, the same thing. Right now it's on sale. By the time this episode comes out, I don't think it'll no longer be on sale. I think Good Old Games sale ends on the 3rd.
Yeah,
I believe
it ends on the 3rd. So,
for
it'll
like
just
$3.
Sale.
But yeah,
$3,
it's still
$6, and $6 isn't that bad.
No. But I mean, I could only really, really, really recommend it to people who have maybe never played it before.
And I haven't,
people who have already played it, like I played it, I would not go back and play the entire game again. And like I said, for some reason, Doom, I'd rather go back and play Doom or Doom 2, even though those games are actually more simple and more dated.
Yeah, and older,
For some reason, maybe it's just the feeling of getting giblets everywhere and with sprites and just blowing people up with a rocket launcher, which is just awesome. But I guess you can do that in Duke Nukem 2, but...
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know what it was. Went in with huge, like, all this nostalgia. This game's freaking awesome. I'm going to play so much of it. And after about 15 minutes, I was like, okay. All right.
Yeah. All right, cool. Well, thank you to Good Old Games for giving us Duke Nukem to review for this month. And I will make sure to post whatever game we get for next month, or for January, which is this month. We haven't gotten our game yet. So as soon as I get it, I will post it on the VG Evo forums. So keep your eyes open for that.
All right.
Cool.
Jeff, I'll pass it back over to you for some news.
All right. Well, news is going to be even quicker, I have a feeling. We got, first things up, Dragon Age. There's a first bit of DLC is actually coming on Tuesday, January 5th. It's the Battle of Ostagar. You're basically going back to where that big battle was, where the king was slain. Well, minor spoilers at the beginning of the game. It's not
really spoiled. But, I haven't gotten that far yet.
You can go back there. Oh. Sorry, Chris. dude gets dead.
Dude gets dead. That's awesome.
But yeah, you go back to that and you find out more about that whole battle and stuff like that, and they've added some stuff. Anywho, that kind of got eclipsed because they came out and announced that they're actually releasing an entire expansion. A package expansion is going to be coming March 19th. It's called
The
Awakening.
That's kind of early, isn't it?
I'd say that is a little bit early, but this is pretty big too. It's going to raise the level cap from 20 to 30 or 20 to 25. I don't think they've actually made that clear. It's going to add a brand new campaign with a brand new character. So I'm sure it's not going to be like a 50-hour campaign or anything. It's going to be retailing for about two-thirds of the price of the full version. So probably about, $40?
$35, $40, something like that.
Yeah, something like that. So, yeah, it's going to be out in retail. No word whether or not it's going to be DLC, but it doesn't look like it at this point. But you will require the first game to play it. So,
hey, Jeff, do you have both pieces of DLC that's out right now?
I have... yes, I do. I got the Stone Prisoner because I think that came with the game.
I just wanted to make sure that did come with the game.
Yeah, that did come with the game. Okay. And then I bought Warden's Keep because I needed the chest.
And the Stone Prisoner is $15. I guess they're doing that to make it so people buy it new, right?
Exactly.
Did we cover that on news one time?
I can't remember if we did or not, but we might not have. But I still haven't even actually downloaded the Stone Prisoner yet. Like, I do have it. I think I hit my download queue or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I ended up picking up the other DLC as well. So even though I haven't put enough time into the game to really talk about it, you know, I don't know if it was on sale or what, but yeah, Warden's Keep was like $7. Is that right?
No, it should be cheaper than that, dude. I think Warden's Keep's like $4 or $5.
What's 550 points? Because that's how much it was.
It's $7. They do Microsoft Space Bucks. It's the same thing. It's like it's 1,200 BioWare points for a Stone Prisoner. And it's like 550 for the other one, and it's $7. So
that's too confusing.
Yeah, it is. It's a decent mission. It's kind of fun, but it's kind of short. I can tell they probably put that chest on there as a little bit of a carrot to get people to.
Yeah, I think that was the main.
That's what it was.
So
it's kind of bullshitty.
It was bullshitty. I agree. But you know, whatever. Got the game for Christmas. I didn't pay much for it, so there you go.
Well, good. Good. Something that it's not really that much of news. But I know we want to talk about this really quick. Unfortunately, we heard about that flawed terrorist attack that didn't happen on, was it Christmas Day?
Yeah, Christmas Day.
Coming over from Amsterdam to Detroit or whatever, that flight where the guy tried to light
his bomb
off in his pants or whatever and didn't work. And
he are smart.
Yeah, but now they cracked down on the whole liquids on a plane, all that stuff, can't do it. Now they're thinking of electronics, so no DS, no PSP, no laptops.
Fuck that.
Yeah.
That's bullshit right there. Come on now.
Yeah, it is kind of bullshit. I mean, because even a one and a half hour flight is hard when you don't have any electronics, but can you imagine doing an international 10-hour flight?
Nine-hour flight?
That would be...
That'd be crazy.
That would be miserable.
Just make them do, I can't remember what where they actually do this, but it's like when there's sometimes when you go into like government facilities or something like that and you have a cell phone with you, they make you actually perform some sort of, you know, some sort of action with the cell phone to make sure that it's a cell phone.
Sure.
It's like just,
yeah, exactly.
If I'm bringing my PSP or something like that, make me load up a game or something. Make sure that it's actually a PSP and I'm not like hiding a bomb or something inside. It's retarded.
Right.
Yeah, that is dumb. I don't know if this, I don't see it happening because it'd be so much backlash from businesses and stuff like that. Like,
yeah.
There's no way because people who spend a lot of time traveling do a lot of their work on airplanes.
And think about it this way. So, think about all of these airlines that have spent shit tons of money outfitting all their planes with Wi-Fi.
Yeah, exactly.
And now they're going to take laptops away from people? That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, and it's not going to happen. You know, I wanted Jeff to bring this up around Christmas, Christmas Day, like the day after Christmas. Like, hey, add this to the news because I think we should talk about this. And I do agree that I don't think it's gonna happen because the TSA may have pull, but it all comes down to business is business, and businesses want to make their money, and this is going to take away a lot of money from them.
Yeah.
About 3 days after Christmas, I think it was the 28th or the 29th. I read online that the TSA has decided to ease away from trying to make this a law. They're going to back off. So it seems like they were getting some pressure from these businesses.
Oh,
they're still looking, quote unquote, looking into it, but they're not like forcing the issue like they were, you know, a day after Christmas when I was like, okay, this is a big deal. You know, these electronics on these planes, they're becoming more of a problem, yada, yada, yada. And now they're backing off 3 days later. Hmm. So it actually did calm down a little bit. So I'm actually, you know, happy.
Yeah. Hopefully this will just go away. It's something that, you know, I just don't want to see it happen because it would really affect a lot of my decisions on whether I fly or drive. It's like right now, I'll drive to someplace like Florida because it's not that far. But if I had to drive to like Washington or something like that, I'd probably fly because, you know, it's getting into that 10 to 13 hour range and I don't want to drive that. But if I'm going to be sitting in an airport and then on a plane and then in an airport again and all that crap, and I don't have anything to pass the time, I think I'd rather just drive. You know?
I agree.
My opinion.
I agree totally. No, I agree. I don't like driving 3 hours, much less 10.
Nice. All right, cool. So hopefully we won't have to worry about that, but in case you are taking a flight soon, yeah, there you go. Be careful when you bust out your PSP. Someone might get mad. Game of the year. Everyone's doing them around this time of year. We're going to be doing it next week. I think the most important site or group establishment released their game of the year.
Ooh, what was the game of the year?
Game of the year is The Sims 3.
Okay.
What?
That's not too
PC,
bad.
For the PC. PETA. PETA. That's right. PETA. Remember last year they gave it to Fable 2? Because there's the dog in Fable 2.
Oh, they do the whole, the most animal-friendliest game?
Animal-friendliest game. Okay, that's right. Yeah. The Proggy Award. So they gave it to EA in The Sims 3. Because apparently, I guess there's animals in that. And I don't know if they actually played the game, because I remember they made the comments about Fable 2 last year. And like, oh, you know, it's a good representation of what a, you know, how you can treat a dog really well. And it can be your best friend. But did they play to the points where, you know, people can kick your dog or you can discipline your dog? And anyway, that's besides the point. And I mean, anyway, PETA, Game of the Year, 2009.
Why do they even bother with this?
Because they're PETA and they love attention.
Okay, but, I mean, we can't be the only ones that are going to say this. So let's just go ahead and say it. Who gives a shit? Nobody cares what PETA thinks of video games.
No, I know.
And nobody who cares about PETA gives a shit what they think of video games either.
Exactly. Mm-mm.
Whatever.
Do they think they can like gain supporters that are video gamers by saying, you know, trying to sympathize towards video gamers? Say, hey, we're picking games now that we like as a you know, animal friendly organization. So they're trying to get more people.
Animal friendly terrorist group.
I know us gamers are awesome, but we don't. That's not the way to go.
Yeah, it's whatever.
It's stupid.
That's ridiculous. They just need to quit.
Yeah,
I mean, in all honesty, Sims 3 is a good game, and I can actually believe it getting Game of the Year from somebody. But I could really care less what PETA thinks about games. There you go.
Yeah, well, agreed. And that was your news overall. A really, really short news week. Not much is happening.
Yeah, well, December, everyone seems to be takes off, and nothing really happens. So
exactly.
Speaking of taking off, why don't we take off for a break?
Yes.
And when we come back, we'll talk about games that we were late to the party on, and new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Peace. Yay. It's time to wake up.
You know, when I was a kid, I was a hardcore gamer. There wasn't a single game that I owned that I didn't beat, and I was good. Like, I could beat Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. One guy. But then the kids came, and the responsibilities. I just didn't have the time or the motivation to keep up. My game backlog just kept growing and growing with each new release. I needed help. So I visited the Game Backlog support group on VG Evo. They helped me take control of my backlog.
The VG Evo Game Backlog support group is a non-profit organization helping gamers relieve their backlog troubles. Having a game backlog is a debilitating and embarrassing predicament. VG Evo is here to help.
I no longer have to lie about the video games I've played. I can finally say with confidence, yes, I have beat Devil May Cry. And you know what? Nero is a whiny bitch.
If you or someone you know is suffering from their game backlog, please contact www.vgevo.com.
And welcome back.
You're welcome back.
Thank you. Today we are talking about games that we relate to the party on. We actually did get a lot of response for this one.
Oh yeah.
I have a feeling that this will still go by pretty quick because, you know, people will tell us what they relate to the party on. We'll say, oh yeah, that's a pretty good game, and then we'll move on.
Wow, you're enthusiastic.
I am. I'm very enthusiastic. So, all right. Well, Travis, why don't you take away? Let's do some emails.
All right. We're going to start off with, Lee Kelly. He says, hello, Indus Peoples.
Hello.
Lee Kelly again to answer your latest cue. So games I played in 2009 that were released in 2008, eh? Well, here goes.
Hey.
Starts off with Fallout 3. I got this for a measly £15, new,
nice.
and got nearly 100 hours into it before the DLC came out. Awesome. He also got Pure. He says this game came in the bundle with his Xbox Elite, and he is absolutely hooked on it.
Really?
Hmm. And he also jumped into Little Big Planet. He played this a ton up until he got sick of it. A water edition will change this game most definitely. Have fun. Have a fun-filled show, guys. Hope you all had a good Christmas. Signed, Lee Kelly.
Thank you, Lee.
Thank you, Lee Kelly.
Well, Fallout 3 is...
the other day.
What's that?
I almost picked up Pure the other day. It was one of the games that was really, really cheap when I went to GameStop.
I've actually never played it. That's the rally one, right? It's the
Well, you're on like ATVs or something. Yeah, I think. Yeah.
Okay. That's cool. But yeah, I knew that we were going to hear about Fallout. I knew people were going to talk about that.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm sure it's not going to be the last time we hear about that one too. Mm-hmm. But Little Big Planet is pretty. That's a pretty cool entry. I forgot the water DLC hadn't come out yet. I think that comes out pretty soon though, doesn't it?
I don't think so.
Or is it out here? It's just not out there, maybe?
No.
Or is it just not out yet? I don't know.
I don't know. Honestly, I haven't played it in a really long time. I'd like to go back to it, but I would say I need to go back to that game, but I know I won't anytime soon, so.
Yeah, me neither. I respected the game for what it is, but it wasn't for me. I didn't really enjoy it too much.
No, I loved it. I just, now there's other stuff that I want to play, so. Cool. What's next?
Cool. Another email. He says, Soup Bendis. Death Row here again.
Hey, cool.
There is really only one game from 2008 that I started playing in 2009 and really enjoyed, and that was MotorStorm Pacific Rift. The first demo they released was really early code, so it wasn't just graphical differences between that and the final version. It was gameplay tweaks too. So I was really surprised when I bought the full game. It is a pretty underrated game. It is one of my favorite off-road racers. Oh, and I'm also going to say Mass Effect. I know what you're thinking, that it came out in 2007, right? Yeah, the 360 version. I did rent that one and tried it, but it was the PC version that came out in 2008 that got me hooked, and I'm really enjoying it at the moment.
Cool. All right.
I don't think it was anything to do with the differences between the versions that made me like the PC version more, just the fact that I managed to get through that painfully boring first level on the PC version. But yeah, I can't wait for Mass Effect 2. Death Row out.
Cool.
Yeah. I for some reason I had this. I thought Pacific Rift came out this year, but it did come out last year, didn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Man. Huh. You know, yeah, I have that, and I still haven't played it.
Are you serious?
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't played it in a long time, but it's really good.
Yeah, everyone tells me it is, and I just haven't played it yet. So, Mass Effect is awesome. We all know that.
Yes, yes.
And what else did he say? He said on another one, didn't he?
No, he said PC Mass Effect because came out last year. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, so. Mass Effect. Good time to play that, considering the next one comes out next month or this month actually.
This month, yeah.
Yeah, end of the month. Mm-hmm. Cool. What else we got?
Cool. We got even more. We got a list. We're not even halfway through. All right. This one comes from one of our IndusFest attendees, Mr. Tears of Ash.
Cool.
What up?
I usually buy my games on day one, but there are always titles that fall through the cracks or that I'm just too lazy to go buy. I had rented Burnout Paradise when it first came out, but I never bought it until this summer. I had liked the concept, but I was never a big car sim kind of guy. Not sure if this counts, but I was stuck on Chapter 6 in Valkyria Chronicles for the longest time, but a few months ago I finally got back to it, and it was as if I just bought it. I played and beat it in no time. And that is all from Tears.
I say that counts.
Yeah, that Valkyria definitely Chronicles. Counts. Yeah. Yeah. Well, Valkyria, yeah.
But
Burnout come out?
Burnout was January of last year.
Oh, shit, so then maybe I can include Burnout in my list, too, because I didn't get that till this year.
Oh, okay.
I haven't even played Burnout Paradise yet, and I'm a big Burnout fan, and I don't know why I never jumped into it.
Like I have to be honest, it's a little bit, if you're a huge Burnout fan and you like the way Burnout works, this is a little different because of how the whole open world thing works with them, with the new one, but it's still a really good game. I mean, I didn't play it nearly as much as I did like the other Burnouts on like Xbox and stuff, but I enjoyed the hell out of what I did play of it.
Well, see, that's what kind of dissuaded me against it, because Burnout 2 was my favorite Burnout. Like, they really perfected the crash mechanic, like the crash game, and hearing that they took Crash away, kind of, or what made Crash really good for me in the first place. I was kind of like always drawn away, but I heard that there was, you know, of course, all the free DLC they were given out, and then the paid DLC was supposed to be top notch as well. And then everybody was playing it. They said they loved it. I just never got into it. So maybe that should be something that I get into soon, because it's pretty. Well, you can get the special edition with all the DLC for what, like $39.99 now?
Yeah, they have a box that has everything in it for pretty cheap. I think it might actually be less than that.
Really,
but either way, it's worth it, because they were selling Burnout by itself for $29 a while ago. So,
oh wow,
add on the DLC, but that was a long time ago, like when they first put it out on the PSN store for download, and then add in the DLC, and I bet it's probably still about $29. I wouldn't be surprised. But the only thing that really bugged me about it was, I mean, the removal of the crash mode, because crash mode was always the best part.
Yeah.
And that you couldn't restart races. But now you can restart races with some of the patches they put in. So, definitely worth taking a look.
All right. Well, you want to move on?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Another question coming from Nico Kuzanagi.
What's up, man?
Hello, gentlemen. This is Nico writing in to answer your question of the week. Late to the party, you say? I can definitely be one of those gamers. So many AAA titles come out in the holiday season. Gamers usually have to pick and choose what they play. What they will get now. Or wait to get it at a later time. Since living by yourself can be a bit of a squeeze on the wallet, I tend to wait until the games I skipped to get a fairly significant drop in price, usually around $40 or less. The longer the wait, the better the deal, unless you're a Nintendo first party. Seriously, Mario Galaxy is still $50?
Nah. Hey, dude, Lair and Heavenly Sword are still $50.
Really?
What? Yeah. Really?
That's ridiculous. Yeah. He continues on, I'll also say that I hate buying used games and only do so if I have no other option to buy new. I love the new game smell you get when cracking open the case for the first time.
got that new game smell.
Buying used will usually apply to PS2, GameCube, or original Xbox games that I missed out on way back when. Eco, Shadow of the Colossus is still on that list, for example. So, what did I get this year that I should have gotten last year? This list is as follows. Some of these may also be 2007 releases. Number one, BioShock. Not sure how you want to count this. I picked up the PS3 version, but this was the first title I bought this year and scored it for $30.
Nice.
Not a bad deal. Great game too, actually. Had a second playthrough started, but then the flood of games started coming in, and this got put back on the shelf. And looking forward to the next one. Another one he puts up here is Lost Planet. Again, cool. I got the PS3 version for this. And he says, starting to notice something. Like maybe he doesn't have a 360 yet. Not bad, and I got it new for dirt cheap. The second one looks like it's made a lot of improvements. And here's another one for MotorStorm Pacific Rift.
Cool.
I picked this one up earlier this year, and well, there's not much to say about it. It's frickin' MotorStorm. Great set of games, if you ask me. Maybe the next one will be in space or something. Speaking of space, he just picked up Dead Space. $15 new. Couldn't pass it up. I haven't played too much into this one yet since I have picked up a lot of games in the last 3 months. It's currently sitting on the back burner, but I'm very eager to play the rest of it. Well, Nico, hopefully you still took it out of the wrapper like some people we know.
Who's that? Who? Who are you talking about?
Who that is.
Who that is.
Next up, he's played a lot of games. Next up is Mirror's Edge.
Nice.
He says, I'm glad I waited on this one to drop in price. I can't say it was worth $60 unless you really wanted to do those time trials a lot. I really was drawn to the environment, though, and do hope they make a sequel someday. He also mentions Heavenly Sword. He scored this at Amazon Black Friday sale for $20.
Cool.
Nice. The boss battles were extremely frustrating, even on super the fucking Jason mode. I think I should have been drinking vinegar piss just to make this less irritating.
Oh. I guess
he wasn't a fan. And Chris, your prediction came through because he also mentions Fallout 3.
Hey, there you go.
He says, I ended up waiting long enough on this one. That by the time I was ready to get into it, the Game of the Year edition got announced. Again, like Dead Space, this one has fallen into the backlog for the time being. I want to get back to it, but as you guys probably already know, this game sucks up a lot of time to complete.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, right?
Considering I put in like 150 hours to that freaking game.
And he continues on with Army of Two. He got this one on the super cheap.
Damn, he's got a lot of games, man.
Yeah, I know. No, we got more, too. Generic third-person shooter, whoop-de-fucking-do, next.
Damn.
Yeah, I didn't like that game either.
Me neither. Star Wars, The Force Unleashed. This game really disappointed me. The story to me was very bland and boring, and The Apprentice interested me about as much as a toaster oven. Glad the Force told me to wait on this one.
I waited on that one, too. I just picked that up this year.
I picked it up, too, this year, and I haven't touched it yet, to be honest with you.
I thought the story and The Apprentice were actually the best parts of the game.
I thought The Apprentice was badass. I'm only on, like, the third level, though. But
have you seen the release? Not the release, but the announced trailer? The announcement trailer?
For the second one?
Yeah. That shit looks badass. Anyway.
Cool.
And finally... Finally, the last one. I'm a bit ashamed to admit that I got this later, as it is superior to his competition hands down. That would be Rock Band and Rock Band 2. I was one of those suckers. I was one of those suckers that figured I should stick with what was already established, so I ended up getting Guitar Hero 3 over the first Rock Band. Price played a role. Price played a role in that as well, since Rock Band cost twice as much, and my gaming budget was even smaller back then.
Yeah.
I picked up the first Rock Band disc used simply so I could import all the songs into my hard drive. The following year, I definitely wasn't going to make the same mistake twice and picked up Rock Band 2 with the instruments. Day fucking one.
Good man.
Fuck you, Activision. Well, that's all my poor little memory can remember for this year. I hope that wasn't too much to read for you. Take it easy, guys, and don't get run over or something. Merry Christmas.
What? Don't get run over or something? Don't get run over by a reindeer on Christmas. That's stands out that he said the most to me is probably Mirror's Edge, because that's a game that, whereas I didn't finish it, I don't think it got... It came out at a bad time, in my opinion, and also I don't think it got the credit it deserved. I think they have a really good base for a solid sequel. And I hope they make the sequel more about the actual running and less about the guards and trying to avoid them and combat and that kind of stuff. Cause the combat had a lot to be desired, but the platforming was sound and it was really fun.
Yeah.
So I agreed.
All right. Well, that big old email just got me in the mood to read some more.
Thanks, Nico.
So we're going to continue on. Hey guys, Hedges 1001 here writing about your question of the week.
Hey Hedges.
Not too sure if this counts, but I would say I liked Agarest Generations of War on the PS3. Now, the reason I'm not sure it counts because the game was approved for release in 2007, but was released in 2009. If it doesn't count, then I gotta go with Eternal Sonata, because while its European release was March 2009, I imported it from Canada in November 08. So that's
Canada
my
what?
Choice. So that's his choice if he can't have Agarest.
Hey, you can have whatever you want, man, as far as I'm concerned.
Right. Always bringing obscure JRPG goodness. Hedges 1001, and he has a quick PS. I picked up Castlevania Dracula X Chronicles on PSP,
yes!
And it is freaking awesome.
Yes.
Not only is it a remake of Rondo, but it has the original version and Symphony of the Night as unlockable extras.
Mm-hmm. And it's fabulous. It is awesome.
Fabulous.
Fabulous.
Cool. Yeah, I
greatest
really
game
like
package horror. Ever.
I really like Hedge's mention of Eternal Sonata. I think if people are fans of RPGs, that's one that kind of could have slipped through the cracks, because it's a pretty... Now, albeit I didn't really finish it all the way through, but what I played, I really enjoyed. I put a good 10 hours into it, and I really enjoy that game. It's that JRPG really corny English dubbing. Like, it's... It's not... oh, man, what's the game? It just slipped my mind. I can't remember. The bad voice acting.
Which one? There's a ton
Star,
of them.
Oh, Star Ocean. Oh, it's not Star Ocean bad, but it's not like Final Fantasy good.
Okay.
So it's kind of annoying. But Eternal Sonata, it's a pretty solid game.
I've actually wanted to get it. It's just I just don't have time to put into it right now. It's like every other game that I play is taking up so much time. And Eternal Sonata, it's one that I was interested in back when it was on 360. Right. And now I would get the PS3 version because they made all the improvements and stuff. And it's just like, I don't know if I have the desire or the time to put into it. Probably something I'll get eventually, but you know, who knows?
I didn't find it terribly deep, and terribly time consuming. I was flying through the story, so I would think that the game may be 20, 25 hours. Like combat's not very deep. It's that, you know, your normal action RPG type deal. It may not take you too long to get through it, so if you pick it up, you might be surprised.
I'll pick it up during the drought. Oh, wait.
Oh, wait a minute. That's right.
The drought of 2011, maybe?
Yeah, something like that.
You'll never buy that game. No, wait, you'll buy it, you just won't open it.
Yeah, I'll buy it and it'll stay wrapped in my closet.
You can chill with Dead Space on the shelf.
That's right.
All shiny and new, waiting to smell that new game smell. Moving on, our favorite fruit, Tamarine Laz. Hey, and
Laz!
Hey, Indus Crew, I'm here again to answer the question of the week. I rented the following 2008 games in 2009 and enjoyed them. Call of Duty World of War and Dead Space. I really enjoyed the campaign in World of War and Dead Space and was just it was just amazing to me. I also got a Guitar Hero World Tour guitar bundle this year. It was a gift and I couldn't say no. it was my first peripheral-based rhythm game, which is kind of sad, but if I had a choice, I would have gotten Rock Band 2. I also got a copy of Burnout Paradise this Christmas, and I'm really enjoying it so far. Yeah. So I guess I discovered that right on time, since 2009 is at its end. Signed, Tamarine Laz, T-Laz, P.S., the oldest game I played the most this year was Grand Theft Auto Vice City Stories on the PSP.
Wow, so okay.
It's a 2006 game that I brought from a friend this year for $10. I didn't play it too much till my PS3 got busted. That's when I got sucked in and basically played it for 2 months.
Cool. All right,
cool deal.
That counts for me.
Right. Thanks, Tamarine.
I was going to say something, and I totally forgot now.
That's okay. That's just mentioned like Burnout and stuff like that, and already talked about that.
Cool. All right.
Well then,
do you want to take a break for a second?
I'm good. I have one more.
Oh, okay. Then just do your one more then.
All right. Here we go. Hello, Indus Crew. First of all, I must say that my therapy is going well, and I have successfully managed to get over that Jason left the podcast.
Well, that's good to hear.
More so, from the Indus stats from last week, I realized he was hating on Naughty Dog Naughty Dog's baby a lot. What a douchey bastard.
So it's confidence, man, I'm guessing.
Ouch. No, actually. He continues on, I'm just glad that Travis is making such a great job. He is not only the spiritual, but the actual successor of Mr. A Striker.
Oh, ouch. That was painful.
Well, okay. Speaking of standing on the shoulders of giants, Dead Space, or Resident Evil Space Edition, as I like to call it, has to be the game from 2008 that I enjoyed most this year. Happy 2010 from Zeke.
Hey, hey Zeke. All right, cool.
Thanks.
Yeah, everyone tells me how good Dead Space is. I really need to just open that game and play it.
You should. You're going to really like it.
It is literally Resident Evil in space, though.
Yeah, and that's actually one of the reasons why I'm afraid that it won't catch my attention, because I just can't get into a Resident Evil game right now. I mean, Resident Evil 5 did not, it didn't interest me at all. I bought it for $60, and I was like,
That's fine, Chris. I did not like this Resident Evil that much. I mean, it was decent, but I was not that thrilled, because I'm a big Resident Evil fan, and I expected a lot from 5, okay. And I was kind of let down. So I'm sorry, Zeke, but I kind of am not agreeing with Resident Evil Space Edition for Dead Space, because I think Dead Space was just eons past what Resident Evil 5 was trying to offer. I like Dead Space way more.
Okay.
I mean, what do you think, Jeff? I mean, do you agree?
No, I think it's visceral doing it. They did the same thing with Dead Space they did with Dante's Inferno. I think, because it literally does play exactly like Resident Evil. It might be better. Like, I really like Dead Space.
Let's ask this.
Of last year.
In Dead Space, but you can run and shoot, right?
No, you can.
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
Better.
Yeah.
Better.
Yeah, oh yeah, it is definitely better. But I mean, other than that, they pretty much took the whole Resident Evil 4 feel and threw it in space and added moving and shooting, which is awesome. But yeah, I can see where Zeke's coming from. So it's calling it Resident
Evil. I do
Evil
like
space
the whole
edition.
Dismemberment mechanic. Of it.
Oh, that's so fun.
It really, really interests me. And you know, one of the things that I should mention right now is that one game that nobody mentioned but has been overlooked by a lot of people is Dead Space Extraction on the Wii. From what I understand, that is a badass little light gun like game. And you know, if you guys are into, if you're that into Dead Space and you have a Wii, I would suggest.
I'm gonna pick it up when it's on the cheap, which probably won't take too long.
Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna pick it up soon too. And actually, you know, I bought that Wii like 2 weeks ago now. I've still not played it yet.
Oh wow!
I've still not played it.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
So anyway, that's it for me. That's all the questions of the week we have so far.
Okay, I got a voicemail. You guys want to hear it?
Let's do it.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, let's see if I can do this without fucking it up like I usually do.
Hey, this is Craig from Scotland, a.k.a. Big C3, here to answer your
Big
question
C3.
Of the week. Due to a lack of funds this year, I was basically not able to buy of all of the new releases from this year. So I've been delving into the catalogue of 2008 games throughout most of the year. One which I'm sure is going to come up a lot, Fallout 3. So I bought this at the very end of February. 120 hours later, 100% in it. Wow. Keep playing it. Completely addictive. For some crazy reason, I feel like buying it again off Steam just to have on my laptop on the go, so I can play with the mods and stuff. Don't ask me why, I just feel like throwing all my money away. The other game I got from 2008 was Battlefield Bad Company, which I got for a song. I've been trying to play the hell out of that before the second one comes out. That's the problem with picking them up later in their life cycle. There's always the sequel to worry about.
Yeah.
Oh well, that's all I've got for you just now, chaps. Hopefully I'll be calling in more often with your question of the week answers. Until next time, Big2Free out.
Cool.
Thanks, Craig.
Thank you.
Why would he consider buying two versions of the same game?
I don't know anybody who would do that.
I want to play some Modern Warfare after this.
On which system?
Really?
I have to admit, I've actually considered that as well, because there are a shit ton of mods for the PC version, and the PC version's got like that high def texture pack and all that shit. I mean, the game looks a lot better on PC. It really does. But I've already beaten the shit out of it on 360, so I think I'm done.
Yeah, I can't play it anymore.
Cool, man. Let's get on to ours. Who wants to go first? Travis, go. Okay,
go. Or Travis, go ahead.
Yeah, I'll go. I'm really quick. See, I'm
sounds like a personal problem.
Well, shut up. I'm kind of at a loss because usually when there's a game that I want to play, I'll just buy it. I just want to get it.
Yeah, same here.
And so I don't have really too many. And I was looking through my game collection. I'm like, man, what did I buy this year that's from the past? And I actually found a few of them, but not all of them were from 2008. So I'll actually start on topic with the 2008 one. Was well, when the Xbox 360 launched, it launched with Condemned. And I really enjoyed that game, but I never played Condemned 2, Bloodshot, when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember I went to GameStop and I bought that one used and picked it up. And I mean, it was okay, I guess.
The first one was creepy as hell. I didn't play the second one.
Yeah, the first
one's
creepy. And once they started giving you too much of a reliance on guns, that's when I stopped playing. But halfway through the game, they give you an M16, and they're like, all right, let's go get these guys.
Oh, wow.
And the game's not that scary unless you're fighting something with your fist or a mannequin arm, and that's all you have, you know? Nothing made fighting hobos more scary than the first Condemned. And I was actually kind of disappointed in that. But the other two games that I looked and I found that I was, you know, going back to play from the past was I picked up a gun on the 360.
Oh, wow.
It was ported over from the PS2 version.
Mm-hmm.
But that's back from 2005, so that's like old. But, you know, that's a fun game, you know. Neversoft. You know. Are they even still around?
Yeah, after the
Oh, that's right, they do yeah. That. Yeah. Okay, interesting. Well, go Neversoft. whatever. And then Dragon's Quest 8. Was that it? The one on the PS2?
Yeah.
I went
yeah.
back and played that, but again, with the same problem that you were talking about, Chris, that game seems like...
It's long.
So, there's so much to do.
It is really long.
Yeah, I don't have time, so I'd have to wait for my next drought, meaning that I'm probably never going to go through that game.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I bought it when it first came out, and I got about 20 hours into it and still felt like I hadn't made a dent. And I stopped playing it. So I'd love to go back to it. I think it's a great game.
It is great. Yeah.
It's just, you know, there's too many other things to play right now.
Yeah. And talk about some of the, to me personally, some of the best artwork in a JRPG. That game is, I think is just so visually stunning that I think there need to be more cel-shaded JRPGs that come out for, you know, for this generation. Cause I love that artwork so much, and it's a shame that no one's going to it. And especially in a time where the 360 and the PS3 are still kind of... They're stretching for a good RPG experience.
Valkyria Chronicles.
I know. I pretty much just explained about Valkyria, right? So, yeah. I guess I do need to pick that up. Okay. That's it for me.
All right. Jeff, you want to go?
Yeah, I don't have too much. Besides... like Star Wars, Force Unleashed, and Burnout, which were both talked about. I guess the biggest one that I got the most into is actually Ninja Gaiden 2. That's the...
Oh, yeah, because you didn't get Sigma. You actually got the 360 one, right?
yeah, because of the cheapness of it.
Right.
Because I never... which is weird, because I love Ninja Gaiden. I loved the first one on Xbox. I also picked up Black when that came out. I picked up Sigma on the PS3 the day, like, day one. For some reason, I just totally skipped over 2 in 2008. I don't even know why. It came out in June, too. I'm trying to think if anything else came out roughly in that same time frame. But, yeah, I don't know. And then, I guess, one thing that makes me go back, like, a lot like Tier said and, like, Travis, when we really want a game, we'll buy it, like, day one, like, first week or whatever.
Yeah.
But the only time I usually go back and buy a game that I didn't buy is usually because people talk about it and, like, oh, you really got to play this. Which, I mean, of course, Scott Sauer from the Goo, like, a big Ninja Gaiden fan. So, when Sigma 2 came out, they were talking about that and... Kind of got me hyped up for it, and I'm like, I gotta go back and play that game. And I'm almost done it now, I think. I think I only have a few chapters left, but that's probably the biggest game, I guess, from 2008 that I picked up this year and really enjoying.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
And I mean, it's $20 now or something like that.
Yeah,
so.
It's cheap.
Yeah. I guess that's Jason. I wonder if Jason started playing that yet. Probably not. But yeah.
I would doubt it. He's too busy playing Street Fighter.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What about you, Chris? What do you play?
Well, I didn't mean for it to be something that you bought necessarily, because both of the ones that I'm going to mention, I actually
just
already
games that
had
you started playing or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
The first one I'm going to mention is Fallout 3, because I did go back and play all the DLC, and immediately got hooked on it again. It's and you know we've talked about it already enough, but You know, it's one of those older games that I have a feeling that if I did play it again, I probably would jump on PC and grab it and play it on the PC just for the hell of it. But yeah, I just, incredible game. And the other one is, of course, Valkyria Chronicles, which I started playing when it first came out, last year in November. And then I stopped. I got to about chapter 4 or so. I didn't get that far. And then once Nabashin, put this little challenge to the four of the us members of VG Evo, I jumped into that game and just stayed into it and could not get myself away from it. The cat is kind of out of the bag already, so I'll go ahead and say it. I did end up beating the game. I did end up winning the challenge. So after I beat the game and I grabbed the DLC, Christmas hits. I've already beaten the game. I got Assassin's Creed. I got Dragon Age. I got New Super Mario Brothers. I'm still fucking playing Valkyria Chronicles. What the hell?
Nice.
it's just, you know, Travis, you said it, that more games need to do the cel shading. Well, I look at Valkyria Chronicles and I still don't think that anything looks as beautiful as this game does. As far as like just the artistic nature of the graphics go.
Nice.
It sucked me right in, right away. I'm still playing through the DLC, which is very much worth it. That's mine. Valkyria Chronicles. It is so good.
Congrats on winning that, by the way, Chris.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hell and, yeah.
Wasn't really much competition as we thought it was. You pretty much blew everyone out of the water.
Yeah, well, that's only because I wasn't lucky enough to have the opportunity to go to Basement Bash. And
that's
everybody
true too,
else
yeah.
who was in it involved did. So yeah. That entire weekend while you guys were partying, I was playing Valkyria Chronicles.
It's bittersweet.
It is bittersweet. But, shit, what was I going to say? Yeah, I've put the clock says I've put like 35, close to 40 hours into it. But considering you can save and reload mid-battle, I can tell you it was a lot more than that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, fantastic game. I've actually completed my review of it, which will go up on the site as soon as it gets approved by everybody. So look for that hopefully this week sometime.
Cool.
Yeah, cool, yeah.
And I think that does it. So let's get on. Let's move on. Get on. The fuck was that?
Let's get while the getting's good.
All right. So new releases.
Yep.
New releases.
Hey, I got a voicemail from Repeat. You guys want to hear it?
Sure. Maybe. Why not?
Maybe.
Do we ever say no?
No.
Like,
I don't think we do.
No.
Okay,
that's
not it. First week of new, we actually got a couple of really interesting games. The first one is Bayonetta. Obviously, it's pretty much Devil May Cry 5, I guess, at this point. Looks pretty damn fantastic. And the second game is a little bit unknown, but Darksiders, which is meant to be a sort of a Zelda-ish thing. So if you're, you know, had a problem with Zelda becoming all cartoony and you're too stupid to realize that was a good move for Zelda, this might be your game. Anyway, yeah, catch us next week.
I love
awesome.
That guy. You're too stupid to know that was a good move. Alright, so let me go through the rest of new releases and then I want to talk about these two games. How's that sound?
Okay.
No.
Alright, so PS3 was covered by Repeat. 360 is also getting Divinity 2. And let's see, DS is getting Fast Food Panic. I know you guys are excited about that one.
And
PC is also getting Divinity 2. Pick of the week. So let's do this. What's pick
tough.
Of the week this week?
This is the first time. Not only did we go like a bunch of weeks where we didn't have one, now we have one where it's like, son of a bitch.
Yeah, now it's like, which one do we pick?
Yeah.
So here's my thought. I want you guys to help me because next week I'm buying a game. I'm not buying both. And I don't know which one to buy. I really don't.
I honestly think you'd like Darksiders more. Like, well, because you're into the whole like adventure stuff. Like, I mean, how big are you into like Devil May Cry? And
I loved the Bayonetta demo. Let's put it that way. I thought it was fantastic, and I know I will love that game. And Darksiders seems very, very similar when it comes to like the action-based combat. But when I heard that it had some of those Zelda elements, all of a sudden my attention was drawn to it.
Me too.
So now I just don't know which one to buy.
Yeah, I agree.
Coin.
I agree with that. I think I'm going to go Darksiders personally. I just, you know, playing the demo and watching you guys play it a lot, it's just too out there. I think Darksiders has the potential to be more of a fulfilling game to me because I'm kind of the type of guy that likes the balance, good story, good action, looks good. You know, I like the whole, you know, mix of that. And I'm just really playing past Devilman Cries, like, you know, I never got the total package by playing any of them. And like the only DMC I've actually played through completion is the first one.
Yeah.
And it was fun, but it wasn't like I was like, oh god, I can't wait for the second one. And the second one came out and played through half. Third one came out, played through half of it. And I'm just worried that that's going to happen again with Bayonetta. I'd like to try a new IP, try something up fresh. And I'm really interested in the content material with the Four Horsemen. I really like the ability. And I heard the whole, you know, whispers of it's Zelda-ish. I heard that too. So that also draws my attention toward that as well. So, you know.
Well, Chris, look at it this way. Are you getting both games? Or?
Yeah, probably.
Then it's probably best to pick up Bayonetta because I can see Darksiders dropping in price sooner because as much as the game does look good...
Yeah, it's not getting as much press.
It's not getting the press. It's not getting more... I don't think outside of people who have been following it, not too many people, I think, are going to pick that up. But same thing might happen with Bayonetta, so who knows? But yeah.
It's tough.
I'm getting both only because I happen to get two copies of Assassin's Creed. And
right, so you have a chance to get one back.
That's the only reason I'm getting both. And originally I was going to put Darksiders.
Is there a demo for Darksiders out yet?
No.
Nope.
No. Shit.
No. I know. That could be a good or a bad thing.
I'm gonna go with Bayonetta right now just because I know it's solid. I've played it. I played the demo, and I know it's going to be solid. And exactly what Jeff said, I have a feeling Darksiders will drop in price faster. So I'm going to go with Bayonetta.
Cool.
You're getting both, so it really doesn't matter.
Yeah, I know, but I'm trying to think of, like, pick of the week if I had to recommend one or the other. I don't know.
If you go with a recommendation, though, the obvious way to go would be to go with what you know is going to be good.
Yeah.
Well, then it would be Bayonetta.
Yeah, Bayonetta is going to be good. So that's where I'm going.
Because even though Darksiders is my pick, I consider it a gamble because I've only seen like videos.
Well, I'm glad that. Are you getting that? Are you definitely getting that next week?
Yeah, I'm gonna buy it.
Good. I'm looking forward to hearing what you have to say about it next week.
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
We'll both have it. Yeah. All right. Cool. I kind of want to say Darksiders because it does look kind of different yet similar. But yeah, fuck it. Bayonetta, but maybe Darksiders.
Bayonetta, but maybe Darksiders. Nice. Cool. All right. Let's do some emails, Travis.
Let's do it.
What do we got?
All right. Starting off here. Hey, fellas. I had a question about your who gives a shit bit that you use every episode. When I first started listening to your podcast, it would get me every once in a while, but it was a topic I was interested in, and then you guys would just poo-poo all over it.
Yeah, we kind of do that.
Sometimes. Lego Rock Band comes to mind.
Must have been about the wrestling thing. But in the last couple of episodes, if you started discussing home or Facebook integration with the PS3, it would kind of tip me off that it was going to go down the shit path. Is who gives a shit supposed to catch us off guard, or are we expected to see it coming? Keep up the great job, and hope you guys have a safe and inebriated new year. Sincerely,
oh, yes.
Biff Sticks. And P.S., Travis, if you haven't done so yet, please pimp SOCOM Saturday. SOCOM Saturday is every Saturday night, 8 p.m. on VG Evo. Do it. Okay, go ahead.
it started off. It was supposed to be kind of.
It started off as obvious.
It's still kind of it. Like the way I lead up to it, it's. I would say it's more than obvious. Yeah. Usually.
And it's meant to be. It's not supposed to catch you. It really most of the time it's not supposed to catch you off guard. It's, you know, it's we're just having fun because. There's this piece of news out there, and it's like, who really cares? And that's exactly how it all started. Is like, you know, the first like dozen episodes or so, I actually gathered all the news and gave it to Jeff. And there was just one day, I think it was like the second. I think we said it was the second episode, and I sent the email to him, and I was like, and this is the, you know, who gives a shit story. And he cracked up laughing about it, and that's how it all started. And it was never meant to be something that catches you off guard. It was always supposed to be just something that would hopefully get a laugh from you guys, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not like...
Yeah.
Yeah, and we don't really want to poo-poo things because it's mostly stuff that we, not that we necessarily don't care about it, but we don't think is important to, like, I mean, Twitter and Facebook, adding that to your console, fine, that's great if you want to use it, but really, in regards to gaming, it doesn't fucking matter whether it's there
no.
or not.
No.
So we really don't care about that stuff. It's very rare we actually shit on an actual, like, I mean, the wrestling thing, I guess that was the only time, like, there are a lot of wrestling fans, of course, but all three of us couldn't care less about wrestling.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a self-fulfilling kind of thing, too. We still yeah. care about it. So.
We're selfish. Yeah. That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's okay. That is okay. Well, guys, next email, I'm going to stay on topic, but we're going to flip the script a little bit.
Uh-oh.
This one comes from Ryan, or he's known online as Taryn. He says, guys, I love you all, and I tell you now
Thank
that
you.
I'm only telling you this because I care. The who gives a shit shtick needs to be either scaled back, so it's not every episode, or retired. The setups are painfully obvious, and when I hear a setup, all I want to do is skip past whatever it is and get back to the real show. Now, I would love it if it wasn't obvious, for instance, if the setup spanned multiple shows, but as it stands now, as a listener, it's turning me off to the podcast. Just some food for thought. Ryan, Taryn.
Hey, Ryan. Who
gives a shit?
I gotta be honest with you. I read this and you know, I actually took consideration of it. And then I thought about it for a second. I'm like, dude, 99% of our listeners are out there expecting that shit every time. And if we were to just drop it,
there would be a problem.
Yeah, we'd get hate mail or something.
And it's painfully obvious, Ryan, because we make it painfully obvious. That's why it's why it's funny to us. Anyway.
Because the news story is usually painful.
Yeah.
Yes.
Seriously. So yeah. I don't know. I mean, I don't think anything is going to change.
If enough people really, really
emailed in and said that, I mean, so if you're listening right now and you agree with Ryan and you think it's, you know, that the who gives a shit is, you know, it's losing its thing.
It's kind of played out. Yeah.
Then, you know, email in and let us know. And if we get enough people that say something about it, then maybe we'll take it into consideration. But it's just a staple, man. Everybody,
yeah.
I mean, think back to Indus Fest. I mean, an entire bar full of people saying who gives a shit all at the same time.
It was awesome.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
I don't ever want to, I don't ever see our show without something like that.
Yeah. And Ryan, if you want us to be like other podcasts, like Rebel FM, we'll just burp and fart into the mic all day. If you want us to do that. No.
Dude,
I joke.
Rebel
FM's, you know,
awesome.
There is no animosity toward Ryan. We knew about this email and we spent all weekend with him and had a good time this weekend. So there's no problems with
him. Yeah, and I actually talked to him about the email at dinner when we were out having sushi. And I was like, I'm going to be honest with you, man. It's not going to happen. We get so much hate mail about stopping it.
Yeah.
So, he goes, yeah, so, I know. I just wanted to, you know, have my voice heard. And I'm like, all right. Anyway, let's keep going.
All right. Here we're going to go on to another one. And the title of this is Assassin's Creed 2. Hi, guys. After hearing Travis rave about Assassin's Creed 2, I was very surprised to discover that the game really is that good. I put in 12 hours or so this weekend and plan to keep playing through the new year. I never played the first Assassin's Creed and was wondering whether or not it's worth going back and playing it.
No.
What parts of the second game are not present in the first?
The good.
Yeah, exactly. Here, we'll touch on that more after we finish up. Also, I thought that that Jason was way overboard with the Uncharted 2 hate.
19 times in 4 episodes.
Until I started playing.
Uh-oh.
While the graphics are amazing, the gameplay did not hold my attention. I'm sure I'll finish it eventually, but it feels more like a required chore for PS3 owners more than a fun time. Missing Jason's sultry voice, Galfridas.
Galfridas.
Thank you, Galfridas.
Have we ever heard from him before?
I don't think so.
Huh.
Actually, his name's Jeff, G-E-O-F-F.
Nice! High five!
Geoff! I'm curious to why he thinks that the gameplay doesn't hold his attention about just because, you know, I agreed with Jason to an extent when it came to like some of the gameplay issues that Uncharted has, but I can't see someone hating on Uncharted and not hating on Assassin's Creed for similar issues.
I find the platforming kind not similar because the two main characters have different abilities, but yeah, I mean, because they both suffer and rejoice with the same problems and benefits.
Yeah,
because,
and
like,
I'll come out and say it. Uncharted 2, I had that issue where I tried to jump somewhere and ended up jumping to the left. That happened to me a couple times. It's happened to me more in Assassin's Creed, but Uncharted 2 is not innocent of it, you know?
So. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I'm curious to hear what he has to say, you know?
Yeah.
So let us know what it is about Uncharted and, you know, how you feel about, you know, maybe it's the gunplay, though. I mean, there's no gunplay in Assassin's Creed, so who knows?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can do a hell of a lot more in Assassin's Creed, so.
That is true. Yeah. The amount of actual abilities that Ezio has is the scale is much larger there.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. A lot less linear.
All right. You guys ready to go on?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Hey, in this, with all the recent talk about non-gaming friends knowing about your hobby, I was wondering if any of your friends or coworkers know you host a podcast. Sincerely, Jack the Yak Bauer. Andrew Thomas.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Actually,
yeah, totally.
The majority of the people that know me know that I do a podcast.
Yeah, it's probably say about the same.
Yeah.
Not saying they don't tease me about it every once in a while, but they know about it.
Yeah, I get the question, what's a podcast, a lot.
Yeah, I get that all the time.
And
really?
Yeah, I do get that a lot. And it's mostly from work. It's like the head of my department at work asked me what it was the other day because I was wearing, it was a Friday, and I was wearing my VG Evo shirt with the podcast network on the back.
Right.
And he asked me what a podcast was, and I was like, it's like a pre-recorded radio show that you get on the internet. And he goes, oh, okay. So I was like, well, at least that's an easy way to explain what the hell it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. Oh, actually, are we going to go back and answer Gelfried's question about Assassin's Creed?
What was it? Oh,
we didn't really answer.
You did. The good.
Okay.
No, the first Assassin's Creed, if you're really enjoying the first one, or the second one, I wouldn't go back to the first one because it's really, the first one was a stepping stone for this one. It really was.
Can I interject though? I do think you should still go back and play it though. Gameplay wise, Assassin's Creed 1 is like a glorified tech demo compared to Assassin's Creed 2.
That is true.
It's way better in spades, but in the beginning of Assassin's Creed 2, they introduce you to Lucy, and you don't really know going into 2
who the hell
their
Lucy
relationship.
Is.
Yeah, you don't know their relationship. You don't really get to appreciate her, and especially some of the parts in the game, they start mentioning the evil doctor, like you interact with him all throughout the beginning of the first game. So you really, it would help to, like, I guess, bond with these characters more.
Or you can just watch it on YouTube.
I was just going to say that. Or you can just go to YouTube and watch it.
Anything just story, because the gameplay is good, but you're doing the same four things over and over and over and over and over and over.
Yeah, and that's true. But I don't think Assassin's Creed, no one thought Assassin's Creed was a horrible game.
No,
it wasn't horrible. I did beat it, but...
Why not play it? I mean...
Well, here's the thing about
Assassin's
Creed.
But going from 2 to that would be hard. Like,
yeah, it'll be hard to go back.
Captain Harlock, he started playing 1 before he played 2. Like, he had both of them. He's like, well, I'm going to play 1 first. So after a while, I just told him, like, oh, dude, just don't even bother playing 1. Like, he's probably, like, halfway through it or something like that. And he was, whatever. I'm like, at this point, it's like, you don't want to burn yourself out on that gameplay and then go to 2, which opens up into so much more. Mm-hmm. So I could see that doing it. But going from, I would have a hard time recommending someone to play through the first one after playing the second one. Because it's like, it's like eating a steak and then offering somebody a meatball. It's like, yeah, sure, meatballs are still good, but you just ate a delicious steak.
You're
going
to tell the Italian guy that?
No, I definitely see his point. That's fine.
I say there's I'm just saying there's no harm in him playing Assassin's Creed 1.
There isn't, but you're going to get about 3 or 4 hours into it and be done. That's my thought.
Yeah, very, very possible.
All right, Galfridas, I want you to play Assassin's Creed 1 and come back and write us and tell us what you think.
There you go. And you can get Assassin's Creed 1 for like $10 or something like that.
Yeah, it's cheap.
Yeah. Cool. What else we got?
All right. Moving on. Hedges 1001 comes back again, says, hey, guys. I heard a question last week in the show. What is your favorite gaming accessory that you bought? Well, my answer to that question has to be a play and charge kit for my 360 controller. I hate having to rebuy piece of shit batteries. Don't we all? Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, every time I go into like a GameStop or any type of electronics store, and I go with an intent to buy. I don't know what I'm buying, because sometimes you want to buy a game, but sometimes you're like, I'm going to buy something extra. Like, I don't want to buy a game, but I want to buy something for my consoles. Mm-hmm. And I always see like Energizer has that PlayStation tower that you can clip on controllers to and everything. Yeah. Like I like stuff like that, and I never go to buy it because I'm like, oh, I want to get this. Ooh, is that $24 the game for $10? Oh, you know, Robotech Battlecry $5. Oh, I'm gonna get like
awesome.
I'm gonna get for like 5 PS2 games and not get this charger. So
and then never play any of the PS2 games.
I got a couple that's still in the
I did. The only thing that I want to say about this is my experience with the play and charge kit is that it sucks.
Yeah,
the batteries are great, and I would say you definitely should have rechargeable batteries for your 360, but get the quick charge
kit. Awesome.
The one that plugs into the wall and you can charge two batteries at the same time, because the play and charge kit will actually kill the battery faster.
It kills your battery.
Yeah, so go check out, see if you can find a quick charge kit and go with that. It's a much, much better deal.
Do you think that same issue would be with that Energizer charger for the that's built for the PlayStation controller?
Well, no, I don't, because my big thing about what happened with me is, and I think this might have something to do with it. I don't know why, but when I had the Play and Charge kit plugged into the 360, when I shut the console down, the fan would still be running, and it was only when I had the controller plugged in. If I unplugged the controller, it wouldn't do that. And it took me forever it didn't take me forever, but it took me a while to realize what was going on, because I just thought, okay, maybe it's still charging the controller or something like that. But apparently it was running the fan off of the battery, because it would, my batteries seemed to never have a charge. It was, I don't know. Yeah, it was weird.
It killed my battery too. That's why I got rid of it. I actually traded my play and charge kit for WarioWare on the DS.
Nice.
Well, that's good to know. Good to know.
All right. Cool. What else?
All right. Moving on, we have another one.
Dude, I'm expecting you to say that you're done. We seriously have this many emails?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
I got two more.
Damn. All right, go.
Hi, guys. Great show.
Thanks.
I have a question. What were the names of the two podcasts that you recommend in episode 107? I'm not an English speaker, so I didn't understand. I've been looking for a couple of decent podcasts to listen to. No, just kidding. I love the show. But if you recommend them, they must be good. Sorry for my bad English, and thanks in advance.
Dude, first, his English is better than 90% of the English speakers we get.
Who's the guy's name?
What's his name?
Juan Manuel.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
I think what he's referring to is
down to 4x and expletive deleted.
Yeah.
Deleted. Yeah.
So
those two.
I will actually reply to his email as well. But
Reply to it, that way we can give him like the so we don't sit here and spell it out to make sure it's right. So you can.
Yeah.
But yeah, down to 4x. That's the Scottish gents who are over in Scotland.
That do like the comedy show more than the
video
game.
Yeah, it's more of like a... Someone in their thread said it was like kind of like a Monty Python, but like for video games, which is pretty accurate. We guessed it on their show last episode.
Yep.
And of course, Expletive Deleted. Is their buddy Kill9 and of course Kelly, they're over there, which actually I'm going to be on their show this Wednesday, so you're going to have to check it out.
Nice.
And yeah.
Cool.
But Chris will give you all that info for sure.
Yeah, Expletive Deleted records live every Wednesday. I'll throw you an email and give you the URLs and stuff like that. And, hopefully I won't forget. But, Expletive Deleted is definitely worth checking out. They run a pretty cool show.
Yeah, it's a fun time. And also check out the VG Evo Podcast Network. Tons of good shows.
Yeah, I agree.
Really good shows. So, finally, one more email. Hey, 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 let's start off by saying, Happy New Year.
Indus New Year!
On to my questions. One, if ever Which game character would you cosplay on an event? I myself did a Cloud Strife a few years back, and this happened 2 years before Advent Children was even released. And he even said that he did the Advent Children costume. So,
Oh wow,
that's
weird.
Interesting.
That's cool.
They got the idea from you. What game will you want to have if you were left alone on an island? Basically, what console that plays it with you as well?
I think we've talked about this one before.
Or it'll be stupid just to have a cartridge and a disc. And number three, blondes or brunettes. From Oliver, a.k.a. B-Wrong.
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 All right.
So the first, would you ever cosplay
as a character
at event? Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
What character?
I don't know who I'd do. Well, if I got all nice and ripped, Kratos, maybe. fuck, I don't know. You know what? I'd probably go as Ezio, or like, that'd be a pretty cool costume.
That would be a cool. That's actually one of the ones I was thinking of. Was
dude from Assassin's Creed. What was his name in Assassin's Creed 1? Can't remember his name.
Altair,
yeah, one of those two. They have, like, their costumes are pretty cool.
Ezio's costume is so much cooler, man.
Yeah, they're both pretty awesome. Yeah.
I don't have anybody else to mention, but I will mention that, my wife has, a couple times. She cosplayed as Pain from, Final Fantasy X2.
Oh, sweet.
She cosplayed as, Nariko from Heavenly Sword. And she actually was prepared to cosplay as Faith from Mirror's Edge, but, then she got pregnant. So it didn't really work out that well.
Well, what about you?
I would probably, again, I would probably do, probably Ezio. I'm trying to think of who else I could cosplay as.
I would love to see you dressed up as Alucard. Cause I think it would just be awesome to see you in that outfit.
See, I would be like Richter before Alucard. Cause I don't think I would do Alucard justice. But I could probably pull off Richter.
Fair enough.
And yeah, I can't think of anybody else. It's funny, too, because I swear that there was a...
Princess Peach?
Yes, Princess Peach, absolutely. Actually, I prefer Daisy.
Yeah. She's got bigger boobs.
Well, Peach is a bitch, all right?
No shit. Mario's been trying to get a piece of that for a while, and she hasn't given her anything.
He's gotten more from Luigi.
What about you, Travis?
I've always had this thing since Fallout came out. I would love to go as a Vault Dweller.
Yeah.
Eamon did that, didn't he?
I think maybe.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Eamon went to some costume party last year and he went as a Vault Dweller. It was a pretty cool costume.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. But if money was no object, I would like to do like a Master Chief or ODST armor or something like that.
Oh, that would be badass.
But that would just be so expensive.
Yeah. You have to vacuum ridiculous. Press all that stuff and
Yeah. So that would be tough, but those would be what I would think. His next question, if you were left alone on an island, what console and game would you take with you?
Travis. We've actually answered this one before, so Travis.
Yeah, I can't remember what I said.
I hope it's not wrong. I mean, I've played through this game like 8 or 9 times, and I've never got bored with any of those playthroughs. But, man, the PS2 copy of Indigo Prophecy, I could play that game over and over and over again and not be tired of it.
Well, I did a cop-out answer. I said, WoW.
Oh, that's right. That
because
say, well,
I would have
it's always changed.
Because you could put so many hours into WoW and not be done with it. So,
right.
I'd probably go with either PS3 or 360 and Street Fighter 4 at this point.
Nice.
As long as I had people, we're gonna, I'm gonna do a cop out and say we have Wi-Fi on this island and I can play online.
I was gonna say, you can't go online with that, right?
Well, we would have to because I'm playing WoW.
Yeah, exactly. But without Wi-Fi, oh man, it has to be like a Fallout or something like that, or Dragon Age or something that's long.
Yeah, something where the game world is really huge.
I would normally something maybe like God of War 2 or something like that, but I definitely get sick of playing any kind of linear game too much.
Mm-hmm. I could see that, yeah. Fallout 3 was one that I would have thought of, but I like your Dragon Age answer better because I haven't played that yet, so
nice,
it makes more sense.
Cool.
And the next question is going to be kind of easy, based on who we're all living with. Blondes or brunettes?
Brunettes.
I got to go brunette. Yeah.
I don't even know. I don't have a preference, but I guess more dirty blonde. I don't know.
What about the redheads, man? No love for redheads?
I'm not married to a redhead, so I'm not going
to
say
I'm not
that.
Married to a redhead either, but my wife knows I like redheads. it's common knowledge, you know?
Yeah.
Cool. All right.
You know what? I will say that I think blondes get my attention more, like, really quickly, like, if I'm, like, out in public, like, blonde hair, I'm like, oh, blonde hair. But I think, as a person, I'm generally more attracted to brunettes.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. I'm with you.
All right, and that's it for our emails, guys. Thank you for everybody who sent those in. Good stuff.
Awesome. All right, so let's do question of the week and then get out of here.
All right.
We are going to be starting our Game of the Year shows starting next week. And we're doing it a little differently this year. Usually we would break it down to, like, downloadable title, portable title, and Game of the Year. This year we're doing it something much more robust, and I will put up all the categories and stuff on our website so you guys can check that out to make sure you cover all your bases. But we're basically going to be doing, let's see, what did we say? Jeff, make sure I don't forget something. PS3 exclusive, 360 exclusive, multi-platform Game of the Year. So we have those four, and then we're going to do downloadable and portable. Mm-hmm. And did I miss anything?
And then just the overall Game of the Year.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the 360 exclusive, PS3 exclusives that way, because if we had everything in one, I have a feeling for a couple of us, the game, we'd be mentioning the same game over and over. So it kind of keeps it limited to the consoles. Right. So we'll have all that. Then we'll have at the end, our top five, what we're going to nominate as our Game of the Year could include anything.
Right.
It doesn't matter what it is. And then we'll do our usual thing when we, tally up everything and see what won it this year.
Right. And in previous couple of years that we've done this, we've done 10 games that we talked about. This time, every category is going to have 5.
Yes.
So keep that in mind. So the question of the week will be, what are your nominations for Game of the Year? Next week will be the show where we talk about what we think is a good choice for Game of the Year. And then the following show will be our Game of the Year show. What are your nominations for Game of the Year? You can send the answer via email, and that address is email@interactivedistractions.com. You can send us a voicemail, and that number is 706-760-4337.
It's almost leak, but it is not.
You can follow us all on Twitter. You can follow Indus Podcast, and you can also follow us individually as Indus Chris, Indus Travis, Indus Jason, and Indus Geoff.
That's Geoff.
Geoff!
What the hell? And we do have a Facebook group, and that is Interactive Distractions Podcast. And Travis has been doing a pretty good job of keeping up with that. So thank you, Travis.
Yeah, it is what it is.
All right. As you guys may have noticed, we did not give away a good old game this week because, as I said, we were in like this limbo week where we didn't have any codes. So hopefully we'll be back to that next week. That's all I've got. So you guys have anything before we wrap up?
Well, just mention briefly, check out EDP Exploited Deleted this Wednesday. What's the date on Wednesday? It's going to be the 6th, I think.
I'm going to be too busy January playing Bayonetta.
but I'll be guesting on the show there. I'll be joining Kelly and Glenn, Kill 9.
Isn't this your second time on that show?
Yeah, actually it will be. So I'll be.
You're not leaving us for them, are you?
No, don't worry. They just pay me more during the week. So you're not going to go over
there. So they give you one penny.
And, yes.
Okay. Gotcha.
True that. And then actually, I'm a little bit of podcast horror. This next Saturday, check out Amplified Gamers. They're doing their 1-year anniversary, and they're going to be doing a live show from Buffalo, and that's just up the street from us. So,
are you guys driving down?
Yes. So Tony and I, we're gonna drive up there or down there for the show. It'll be their big 1 year. It's the first time Trickman, Terry, Sam, as well as Tom are going to be recording in the same room together. So awesome. It's gonna bring back memories of the first time we recorded together. So that'll be this Saturday. All the details, I don't have all of them with me right now, but you can go to VGEVO, go it under Podcast Network, Amplified Gamers. There's a thread there. It's got all the info. It should be good times.
That's really cool. Yeah, it's only like a 3-hour drive for you, so that's not a big deal at all.
Oh, not even, dude. It's like an hour and a half.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Yeah, Buffalo is not far from Toronto.
Cool. Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, you're getting around, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm
you
a little
podcast
bit
slut. All right, cool. Well, that is our show. Hope you guys enjoyed it. If you did, please tell a few friends about us. And if you're on iTunes, please leave us a review. So until next week, my name is Chris.
I'm Travis.
And I'm Jeff.
Did you say Geoff?
Yes, I did. And it was kind of a slip, and I was kind of hoping no one would notice.
And now I pointed it out. So much for that. Play your games, and we'll talk to you next week.
Goodbye.